Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Adams.
And Elizabeth Wallace. And you're listening to Binary System Podcast number 456. And tonight, we're recapping Welcome to Night Vale number 267, Missed Connections. We're also going to go over an episode of Star Trek Lower Decks. And we have to talk about the latest thing that happened with Worldcon, because apparently Worldcon cannot keep itself from having scandals.
Yeah, at least one scandal per year at this rate.
Okay, so obviously from the title of the Welcome to Night Vale episode, Cecil is talking about misconnections, those personals that you put in when you feel like you almost, you know, connected with somebody out in the real world and you want to make one last attempt at making that connection. So in honor of a brand new segment, he's going to devote the entire episode towards misconnections.
Yeah, and he did say that it's like you have this urge to maybe get that human connection thing right one more time and you've decided to do it in the most embarrassingly public way possible. But he also said that his example that he gave was like the idea of maybe meeting somebody that he used to know, but they didn't say hi to each other when they saw each other at Prepper World when he was getting supplies for his family's bug out bags. And I'm like, why is this not a thing? Why do Prepper World sounds fantastic? Because it's like, it would be great for people who are hardcore preppers and the people who just want to dip their toe in the water because they're worried about the state of the world.
I always figured that was just known as REI.
We'll do it too.
Now, before we get into the misconnections, he does want to talk a few bits of news and everything. The Hazy Mirage Tanning Salon has been shut down by the health authorities because it's in this giant area with no roof on it and everything. And I think the reasons they were shut down is that there's no exit, there's too many vultures, and they have well over the legal limit of human bones inside.
Yes, but there doesn't seem to be anybody staffing the salon, so they're just going to shut it down by telling everybody to stop going there.
Yeah. One really quick bit of news is that something is moving in the willows, and it's probably a possum, but maybe not.
Yeah, my notes are basically that you are not to touch the possums.
No, yes, don't do that. Yeah. Okay, so the first round of misconnections, someone saying, I was driving in a yellow Honda, you were in a silver Ford, there was marinara sauce all over the road. I believe that the silver Ford had basically turned sharply and dumped marinara sauce all over him, and he just really wanted to have another chance to really lean on the horn at him, if you could just drive by so I could do that. I think it would give me some closure about how everything went.
The next one is someone saying that we pulled off a successful heist and the new abscond with the money, and there was just all this long list of grievances about how it's not just about the money, it's also about the jewelry and the ivory tusks and all these other things. But it's like, so I'm not gonna let this go, Sebastian, and you won't see me coming. And like, have we heard of Sebastian before? Because when they mentioned that, Cecil said, oh, I wonder if that's the guy that's always wearing the disguises, standing by the bus station trying to get out of town, even though there hasn't been a bus by for years. Maybe that's it. Maybe you can go find him there.
Yeah, I assumed that it was actually, I thought it was talking about Koshek's alter ego, but that was Silas the Thief. There was no Sebastian there.
I wonder that too. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that we've heard about that one. Okay, so there is a quick update on the food shortage in Night Vale because all, I don't know, deliveries of any kind of food to Night Vale have completely stopped, but the city council says it's fine because canned soup still exists.
Yep, they've got plenty of canned soup. It is low-sodium cream of asparagus, and it's only a little expired. It has been sitting outside in the sun at the Ralph's for ages, but that just means it's nice and warm.
Now, for a little while there, they did have a really good supply of marinara sauce, but apparently there was an accident involving that, and I'm like, haha, call back.
Tells you, I lose track when I'm trying to catch up on my notes. I completely miss the fact that was a callback to something that happened earlier in the episode.
Clever.
All right, we got a segment from Deb, the sentient patch of haze, and I know yes. Meg Bashwinner has been doing the little outro bits, but is this the first time that we've had the sentient patch of haze in a while?
Might have been, because I know she had a baby, yeah. So I figured that was probably part of it. So yeah, Deb, the sentient patch of haze is back. Yay!
Yeah, and she's doing a little bit for the sponsor, which is Crate and Barrel Discount Funeral Supplies, because they've got lots of crates and lots of barrels. None of this polished mahogany stuff. Don't spend a whole lot of money on something that you're just going to cover with dirt.
Honestly, I mean, I actually agree with all that. I'm kind of the idea. It's just like, why spend all this money for something that's going in the ground? God.
Well, I've loved those ads or the Facebook posts about the tree pot. pod idea, that you get buried in a compostable pod that has a tree seedling in it that will grow based on your remains or something like that. And the response I've always loved is, do you want haunted forests? Because that's how you get haunted forests.
Yeah, word. Oh, gracious. Okay, so the next misconnection is someone talking about how they were getting on a train in Mexico City, and then I think they got off the train at some point, and no other trains came by where they were, and they waited and waited until the tracks were covered with sand, and they're still waiting. If anybody hears this, please help me.
I'm like, oh, gracious. I'm trying to get out of this place, please help.
Cecil just thinks that seems very adorable. I don't know, Cecil just consistently misses the point.
And then the next one was somebody talking about how I saw you in the distance and you were just a blue dot, and then you got closer and you were covered with water and trees and people and animals, and it was all kinds of a mess. And just when I thought we were going to meet, we didn't, and we missed each other. So I would really like to try again to destroy the both of us. So somewhere out there, there's a comet that wants to get a little closer to us. Yeep.
Yeah. There's always a comet coming closer to us.
It is.
I keep hearing news stories. I'm like, they're talking about an asteroid. I'm like, oh, really? Another one? Oh, God.
I hadn't, like, astronomical units, that's the distance from the Earth to the Sun. So that is an incredibly long distance away when you think that it takes 8 minutes at the speed of light for light to reach the Earth from the Sun. So a lot of times when they're talking about, oh, we got a near miss, it missed us by, like, 3 astronomical units. I'm like, does that actually count as a miss, though?
I guess if it went through our solar system, they count as a miss.
I don't know.
Yeah. So Cecil doesn't feel like any of these have really been romantic enough, so he is just going to comb through the ones that have been submitted to find a really good one, and while he does that, he's going to send us to the weather.
Okay, so the weather was kind of bouncy and definitely sort of a garage band sound, but I love the lyrics because there's all somebody singing about the end of a relationship, but it's like, it's different from how I've heard anybody deal with this before, because it's just like they are so sick of the process. They're so bored. They just want to get it done. I don't think they even like the person anymore, and they don't think the person that they've been dating is really all that nice. And things like, said you don't have room for my feelings, but you'd like to stay friends. Okay, what are those again? You don't have friends, you have meetings. And then the end is, I'm so bored, so let's just skip right to the part where you're gone, and I'm so bored, I can't keep the lie going through the chorus. I'm so bored. Did you leave already? I didn't notice. So I'm like, ooh, that was kind of vicious.
Yeah, it was a good one. It was called I'm So Bored, and it was by Mal Blum. And yeah, I liked it. I wrote down indie rock, so that's kind of the style that it was in. But yeah, it was a good one.
Now, I'm probably going to have to leave you to summarize the last missed connection, because I was looking up the lyrics to the song, to the weather.
Yes, indeed. So yes, Cecil finds a good one. He hasn't read it all the way through yet, but from what he's skimmed, he thinks it's romantic. So he's just going to go ahead and read it. And it is actually, it is beautiful and it is dark. And it's someone talking about how they were having what sounds like a date in Arby's and they were really nervous talking to the person. But then, you know, they had sort of ripped their takeout bag up into pieces and the air conditioner turns on and it sends all the pieces flying around. And the person they were with made a joke, but not in a mean way. And they really thought that maybe this was going to go someplace. And then the roof came off and a light comes down and everybody's frozen and nobody can talk. And the whole rest of the story is the person experiencing what feels like back in their childhood home, except it doesn't really actually see like a childhood they had. Like there's a dog when they didn't have a dog, and their dad was talking about time in the office, but their dad didn't work in an office. And the whole time he keeps trying to say things to the other person and ask them questions and ask if they want to go see a movie or what is your favorite TV shows or whatever. And next thing you know, they're standing in front of their childhood home, but they're an adult and some other family lives there. And they run back to the Arby's and the Arby's is shutting down for the night. And they're just putting out a misconnection that this was you. I would just really love to finish our conversation.
I mean, the nightmarish image of trying to talk with somebody and you're living an entire other existence somewhere and nothing that comes out of your mouth makes sense. I mean, Cecil is just like, and you try to ask them for their number and you get, and then this long drawn out groaning sound from Cecil. It's just, oh wow. Yeah. And of course you have to wonder what the other person was thinking about all that. It's like, oh yeah, that person that totally spaced out at the Arby's. I don't think so. But Cecil, of course, thinks that the Arby's is the most romantic place in the whole entire world, which of course he would, but
yes, he says any relationship that gets started as an Arby's tends to end up well. And I'm like, aww, it's nice. So yeah, that's the end of the episode. I did write down the proverb at the end of the episode. It was, actions speak louder than words. Unless the action is talking, then it's about the same.
Yeah, the intro bit was Cecil telling everybody to think inside the box because it's very quiet in there and you can get a lot of good thinking done. I thought, that's words to live by. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. Okay, so do you want to talk about Star Trek next, or do you want to talk about Worldcon?
Let's do Star Trek first. Okay, because I don't know where the Worldcon conversation's going to go. I'm sure it's going to spiral outward, but
probably. Yeah.
Okay, for Star Trek Lower Decks, I watched Season 3, Episode 8, Crisis Point 2, Paradoxus. Now, if I'm remembering right, a Mariner in like a previous season had made this whole holodeck drama where she was trying to work out some catharsis or whatever. And Boimler thought that was awesome. So he's made a sequel to it where he gets to be badass and everybody else gets to star in like the badass roles or whatever and have a big adventure. But the episode ends up getting divided into two segments because Boimler gets called away to speak with Ransom, and then he comes back in, and he gets all existential, and he's like completely ditching his storyline because he wants to go chase after these like holodeck-created random characters who have made some kind of comment about going to see this idol in order to learn the truth of the universe, and he's like, yes, we've got to do that. So he hands off the storyline to Rutherford and Tendi. And Tendi is very upset because Rutherford is not taking the adventure seriously. And she's like the now acting captain. So as they go along, what Mariner finds out why Boimler's freaked out, Ransom told him that his clone died, William Boimler, and it was like a freak accident, a chemical leak or something, so he died in his sleep for no reason. So Boimler is trying to find out, what is this all for? And meanwhile, what Tendi finds out is she wants to be captain eventually. She'd never admitted that to herself, and that's why she was upset at Rutherford. And Rutherford's like, oh my God, Tendi, you'd be a great captain. She's like, oh thank you. So they go and they finish their adventure, and she kicks all kind of ass. And Boimler and Mariner do manage to find this one idol, and it's only giving him like pithy little sayings that are probably coming out of a word generator, and he's freaking out and diving into the idol and trying to beat it up from the inside, and he passes out and he wakes up at a horse farm where Sulu is actually taking care of the horses that he said he bought the farm from Kirk when Kirk went off to go do time travel. I don't know. And I love when they have stunt casting from some of the actors from the previous series. And I love the fact that they seem to like want to give them outrageous things to say. Like Sulu actually says, do you want to feed the horsey? And then he gives Boimler some commentary on, you know, death is random only because all of life's joys are also random. And Boimler restates all that in a kind of pithy comment, and Sulu says, I literally just said that. And Boimler, of course, starts fanboying and wants to hear all the information about working with Kirk and Spock, and Sulu just gets more and more irritated, and he finally says, the horsey's going to bite you now. And just that they got George Takei to come in and say stuff like that is just great.
Do you know he was totally into it? He just must have been just like, yes, I will definitely do this. Oh my goodness.
And then Boimler wakes up in the sick bay, and it's because he was dehydrated. And Dr. Ta'ana is like, the holodeck may not be real, but dehydration is. And Boimler's like, oh, so I was just sick? More like clinically dead. I love Dr. Ta'ana. I mean,
she's the best.
They're all there, like, trying to bond over the fact they had this adventure. And then Ta'ana comes in screaming, all right, everybody needs to get out of here. And said, Steven's leaned up against the warp core, and I've got to tend to that. And they bring in this horribly burned crew member, and he's going, twice in one day. So I mean, Mariner tells Boimler that he did a great job and that she really liked the whole adventure that he had, and she was glad that he didn't end it on some kind of like the end or is it sort of dark thing. So then of course we have a the end or is it thing where we see Boimler's clone waking up, and it turns out he's faked his death because he's going to join that secret dark part of Starfleet and do God knows what and be able to laugh maniacally. And then that's where the episode ends.
I know. I'm like... Like, they subvert the tropes, but they also embrace them a lot of the time. So,
Yeah, when they start up and Boimler and Mariner are arguing about where the story's going to be going, and she's just like, oh, God, really? I mean, are we going to do a time travel thing where things get changed just enough that all of us are still in the same positions, but we're being played by different actors? And Tendi's like, oh, I don't know. That seems a little far-fetched. Like, we're already getting meta.
I love it. So, wait, that was episode 8,
yes,
right? How many episodes are there per season?
I think there's just 10, so I only have a couple more. I'm not in a hurry to get through this because I know I only got 5 seasons.
Yeah. Well, unless somebody else picks it up. You know, a la Futurama, so we can only hope. Okay, so now we're going to talk about Worldcon because I was reading up on Ursula Vernon's thread on Blue Sky and she made some comment. I'm like, wait a minute, what? So near as I can figure, Worldcon, which is the organization that runs the Hugo Awards ceremony, which takes place in different cities around the world. And Worldcon basically it's almost like a whole new organization every time.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they needed to vet the people that they were going to be getting, I guess, to do the speaking, I suppose.
The panelists, I think.
Yes.
They get thousands of people applying to be panelists at Worldcon every year.
So they tried to sort of sneak it past everybody in a little announcement, but everyone pounced on it. They used ChatGPT to vet the panelists to make sure everybody was good. I'm telling you guys, I mean, maybe you're listening to this and you like ChatGPT, you know, whatever you do, you, I'm not a fan and everything. It is not a search engine. Yes, it is pulling stuff that it knows from the internet. But the problem is when it doesn't know something, it just makes things up. And you've got people who are saying, oh, well, yeah, it's like 80% correct. I'm like, how do you know which is the 20% that's not correct? That's the thing, the difference between using a search engine and using ChatGPT. A search engine will call up actual websites. I mean, obviously, Google search is getting really stupid because it's using a lot of AI, but like a real search engine will call up real websites to give you the information that it calls up. But ChatGPT will just throw out information and you don't know how much of it is hallucinated.
So one of the reasons why a lot of people jump down Worldcon's throat about this was the fact that this is a celebration of human creatives and AI, it learns by working off of other people's stuff. So like the artwork that you get with AI is basically a Frankenstein's collage of snipped together pieces from other people's artwork. That is all it is. And when it does, you know, write stories or conversations or something like that, it is an I am good at guessing the next word kind of engine. Like it doesn't need to be true. It just needs to give an answer and it doesn't know how to say, I don't know. So a lot of people are upset that they know that creatives are upset about AI because it's stealing things. They're not getting asked for permission to have this stuff that their work getting farmed out to this. And it's also a lot of people are trying to put human creatives out of work because they think, oh, but we've got AI, so we could just make this. And you're like, oh my God, but it's having to use humans' work in order to do that. You just don't have to pay them anymore. anymore. So that was, everybody was really upset about that. But also Worldcon, like, they kind of doubled down when they gave a statement about that. And they said that, okay, there was nothing, nobody's private information was dumped into here. Because that's another thing, is if you like enter something in ChatGPT, it's available for everybody. We didn't use anybody's private information. And we had volunteers going over the results afterward to make sure they were accurate. And, you know, we managed to save thousands of volunteer hours by using AI. And people are like, did you save thousands of hours, or did you have to have volunteers go behind and check all these results? Because it can't be both.
Right, right, right. And it's just, at best, it's tone deaf to use something that you've got creatives who are definitely upset about it, and you're just gleefully saying, oh, hey, we used AI, that thing that you hate. That's pretty fucking tone deaf right there. But then the chances are good that there's going to be some panelists at this thing who have no business speaking there because they, you know, ChatGPT was like, oh, yeah, they're totally good. And they're going to show up, and maybe they are, maybe they're not. I don't know. It remains to be seen. And it's also the fact that they waited until people had already bought tickets and made plans and committed to attending. And then they told people. And you know that they did that in that order on purpose because they wanted to make sure that as much as possible, people would have a difficult time backing out. And that's just underhanded in a whole different direction. So yeah, it's pretty bad.
And I don't know how many times people are going to keep falling for AI being just the solution we need when it's really not. I mean, you've got Mike frickin' Lindell, who is getting sued from here to eternity for the fact that he was accusing voting companies of faking the results in the elections. And he says that he's got absolute proof. He's never provided proof. And then it turns out his lawyers are getting called on the carpet because they had their brief presented to the judge, and it turns out they used AI to write the brief, and the AI invented court cases, and the judge knew it. The judge could recognize all of these errors in the brief, and they asked the lawyers, did you not even check the results? So they obviously thought it was a search engine as well. And it's just like, guys, this isn't a little thing that AI does. AI makes up shit. It is part of the program. And it's just like, you're going to get burned unless you check behind your work. And if you're checking behind your work, you might as well just go ahead and do the work yourself.
Yeah. And this is my thing about, like, there's companies, including some of the ones that we've worked for, who are really pushing to use AI because the higher ups are thinking it's going to save us money and we need to get in on and everything, but they are using AI. They want to use it just because it's there. It doesn't matter that the results that you get aren't going to be as good as not using AI. And as an example, and I'm not going to say which company this was for, but you know, I got submitted a piece of art to use in a situation. And I see the piece of art and I went, oh God, this is the most horrible AI generated piece of, it was supposed to be a bunch of kids in a school yard, whatever. And it was all the freaky faces and arms coming out.
It was like
out
something
places.
Out of like what people's faces turned into in the their photographs in the movie The Ring.
Yes, yes. It was just awful. And here's the thing. It was from Shutterstock because Shutterstock has a function where as you're looking for photos, it says, oh, would you like to maybe generate something? And then you go into an actual art generation area and, you know, it gives you the options. That's where it came from. This company had an account with Shutterstock that also lets you look for stock photography and download something. And I went into that account and I searched for actual stock art, and it took me about a minute and a half to find a perfectly good piece of stock art. It didn't cost any more to get the actual stock art than it took to get this terrible, terrible piece of AI. But somebody had been told, yes, you need to use AI to do it. And I'm like, I found something that was just as good. So it's like they used AI, even though it would have been faster and better and more efficient to just use the same account to get a piece. I'm just, it just makes me rabidly angry. You know, I'm like, that's just dumb, you guys.
I wish I could find the article that I read where someone was ranting about AI and they said, the most irritating thing about AI is that nobody is asking for this. No actual consumers want to have all this stuff and or are looking to have an AI summary of their search results or to have an AI summary of their email pop up at the top. It's like, but at the same time, nobody asks for companies completely change the interface on their websites on a regular basis or to have, you know, their interfaces on their programs to be updated and new and improved all the time, but they keep doing it because this idea, like, you've got to innovate, even if innovate just means making shit up for no reason, just so that it doesn't, people don't say, oh, well, this is comfortable now. I'm like, yeah, I hate that. It's like products getting new and improved all the time. What was wrong with the product before?
Yeah. So just, you know, our advice to everybody out there, you know, be on the lookout for that. Everybody is going to be pushing AI for a while, but I will tell you that I work for a company where they had used a piece of AI art in a certain function and everything, and they had people write in to the company and complain about this art that was posted, that they thought it was terrible, it was awful and everything. And I'm telling you, it immediately got taken down, like immediately. So if you see something and you think it's stupid, if you hear a podcast that's made with an AI voice and you think it's dumb, if you see an article that you think just makes absolutely no sense and you're sure that it was written by ChatGPT, write in and say something, because there's very good chances that you'll get the higher ups to be like, oh God, people hate this. Maybe we shouldn't use this. You
know? So yes, but we're old fogies and we're going to fight this tooth and nail, and maybe we'll be
sure.
Right. Or maybe we're just old man shouting at clouds. Who knows?
Yes. Yes. We are the dinosaurs, and that's fine. I'm okay with that. Darn it. So on that note, that will wrap us up for the week. So make sure to check out pixelatedgeek.com for all the book reviews, the movie reviews, the comic book reviews, the photo galleries. Hugh has a review up of the latest season of the animated Star Wars series. This one is, I think, Tales of the Underworld. He gave it a B-. Not really sure about that one. I know you have a review going up of the third book of the series that you had recommended to me that started with The Book That Wouldn't Burn.
Yes, indeed. I think he stuck the landing on that, but he does. I think it's a polarized book. I think some people wanted something more traditional of a happy ending, but if you've read the whole trilogy, you understand what he's going for.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Boy, I just got finished with the first book. Oh my God.
Tiny, whiny. Wow. Surprise. What you thought was happening was not actually happening.
Man, that was intense. Oh boy. Anyway, all that and more, pixelatedgeek.com. So we had 2 weeks in a row of Night Vale because we had skipped before. So next week we will not have Night Vale. We will maybe have more Lower Decks. Maybe we'll talk about another episode of Black Mirror if you want to watch an episode or two.
We could maybe try that. I'm really curious about the movie The Thunderbolts. I think a lot of people think that it's a refreshing change of a Marvel movie. So it's not going to be, and it's definitely better than the latest Captain America movie, which apparently a lot of people didn't like. But I'm also curious about the movie Sinners. Because there's a musical number in that a lot of people are talking about and saying that it's like hearing a description of it and you think, oh no, that's goofy. Apparently it works really well. So I'm very curious.
Oh, me too. You know what I've been listening on into the background when I'm working on projects?
What's that?
Overly Sarcastic Productions on YouTube.
Oh, no kidding. How's that?
Oh, it's great. I've been going through all the different Greek gods and everything. They had a whole thing on Hades and Persephone, and they are absolutely right. In the actual traditional canon myth, Hades and Persephone are like, I don't know, they're the best, most functional couple in the entire Greek pantheon. You know, they actually have a healthy relationship.
Amazing how that works out.
I know. So yeah, give that a listen if you want. But I am sure we will talk about all of that and whatever else distracts us. So one way or the other, we will talk to everybody in 1 week.
Talk to y'all later. Just going to shut it down by X. So they're just going to shut it down. Let me try that again. I love when they do stunt casting with some of the older Star Trek characters. And I love when they do. Try this again.
So make sure to check out pixelatedgeek.com for all the book reviews, the movie reviews, the comic book review. For all the book reviews, the movie reviews, the comic. Wow. Book reviews, movie reviews, comic reviews. Yeah. Wow. Okay. I'm going to start that one again.